sharp swords with handle art to scar trolls and charge tolls to cross roads. Your bandits are catacombs and giant doors. Protect the chest and store some legendary items with the dragon bones and iron.
It's
ore.
A grand theft of Elder Scrolls. Simon's quest with Toe and Earl. Rock shoes to Everclue. Easter eggs and gaming news. The boldest need some bad dudes to crash crew like Bandicoot. All shit and gaming and glitch control issues. Control issues.
Well, yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all. Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go on twitch.tv/controlissuespod. You'll see some gameplay videos we put up from time to time. You can go to @mycontrolissues on your Twitter account, and you can hit us up, and we'll hit you back. You can also go to your podcast provider. That could be Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and you can look for us. You can find us. I believe in you.
Yeah, you have no excuse to say you were searching and you couldn't find us because we're out there. We out here.
Except it may be Google Play, where the path to the podcast is a tad convoluted.
Yeah, you might end up searching the music section for Control Issues. Like, what's going on right here?
You might end up looking for the podcast and find a Minotaur at the center of the maze.
Speaking of, hey, Dub, we in May. We still playing games?
A little bit.
And what you been playing?
Well, I've been splitting my time. Of course, I've been chopping away at God of War still. I believe I'm getting close to the end. And, you know, it's a roller coaster, man. It's a lot of things going on story-wise. Of course, I know you're a little behind where I am, so I can't share intimate details. And, you know, we're going to hit you with a spoiler alert anyway. However, it's... Every hour that I play of that game is just as entertaining as the first was. It's also just much more enjoyable since I'm able to put up with more punishment in combat. I have pretty much every move except for like a couple of tiers on a certain weapon. I got all the moves I need. I'm getting to that point where my stats are unlocking additional bonuses for some of the moves, like making it more difficult to interrupt my attack animations.
Oh, hell yeah.
Things of that nature.
Swinging through it.
I'm getting used to throwing in my context sensitive attacks in there, like the when you dodge but hold the stick forward and press R1. I'm throwing that stuff in there. I'm switching between weapons in combat, flowing organically. First, I'm swinging on a couple dudes. Then I'm throwing my axe at a guy. Then I'm going to my fist. Then I'm doing shield moves. Then I'm calling my axe back.
Then I'm calling my rage.
Then I call out my rage. Then I got my boy. Summoning the animal spirits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this game is fucking amazing. I played a little bit more God of War myself. Speaking of, actually, I wanted to ask you. Now, you said you're kind of inching towards the end of the game. How do you feel about replaying? Are you going to come back for that harder difficulty?
I feel like I would at one point. Realistically, got a massive backlog, got amazing games coming up soon, got games I want to finish before other games, got games I didn't know I wanted that I just pre-ordered that I'm going to be diving into without a doubt.
Like, yeah, you had mentioned that you had you were playing something, you were splitting the time of God of War with something else.
Yeah, I'm getting deeper into the SNES classic. I'm really enjoying my time being able to play a reliable, stable build of Secret of Mana.
Oh, hell yeah.
With the OG Super Nintendo controller.
No need for that MAME.
The Super Nintendo controller. No need for that MAME. No need for that SNES 9X. No need for the shitty Circuit City store-bought controllers with the bullshit analog sticks that slide off.
Yeah. How's it feel? How's Secret of Mana?
I mean, it feels every bit like it did back in the day, which is...
Holds up.
It's excellent, positive. And, you know, now that I have my modern gaming brain, and I can play games like this. I can remember dialogue. I can figure out puzzles almost instantaneously. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. Now I can ask myself the important questions, like, is there a way for me to control the animations that are being generated here? Like, is there some kind of underlying system I can use to further tailor this experience to my personal needs?
Yeah, we went out the previous night, Cinco de Mayo, and I was discussing with you, like, Final Fantasy VI, and for me, like, that's kind of that's what I would look forward to, is going back and now actually just looking things up and seeing everything that I missed in my playthroughs and really getting that full, complete experience that they have in Final Fantasy, because they love to just leave those things in there that you can either just discover or things that you can completely miss and not know and still enjoy that experience that you had.
Things you'll miss for your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have anywhere from like 2 to 3 Final Fantasy III guides. And there's one that seems to be the most complete out of all of them, and that's how I found out about the hidden limit breaks. I was telling you about that, where in Final Fantasy VI, it wasn't like it was a defined mechanic. They never even hinted to or told you about it. But basically, once your character gets down to like the caution area where your hit points turn yellow when they're kneeling, if you keep doing regular attacks, you might unleash their limit break. And it's just a random ass attack, and it'll oftentimes clear the entire screen. It's like, what the fuck was that? It's like, yeah, don't worry about that. Keep your health up.
Yeah, I love that. And it's not guaranteed, but out of nowhere, you just unleash this guardian angel of an attack. Similar like Nerd Rage or some shit.
Basically.
As for me,
yeah, what you been playing?
Play a little more God of War. Man, that game, so good. Like, it's, you know, it's like a slow push because I am playing multiple games right now. You know, I've been playing some Mario Kart with Marissa, getting in that, knee deep in that, because we're trying to put that down now that the Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze remake is out.
And is that a game or is that a smoothie?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You drink the smoothie while playing the game.
Every game comes with a smoothie. Yeah. From the Donkey Kong smoothie shop.
Yeah, it has like Funky Kong, I think, where you're riding on you got a surfboard that makes your falls a little slower, got a little floatier. It makes it a little more accessible from what I read, just because apparently this is supposed to be a very difficult Donkey Kong game, but also one of the most favorite ones. So we want to get into that. It has co-op. So we're trying to put down Mario Kart, which is dope. With God of War, though, push a little more of the story. Man, I'm like really starting to get like comfortable with like what attacks I want on, I guess it's like the runics. Because like I had like the option of having like this one thing where I would spin and knock back like the enemies. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But then the one that I'm currently using right now, I like because I can chain it. So I have like a shield charge where he just runs, and while he's running, similar to what you were saying, it can't be interrupted. He can't take damage. He runs, he shield charges into the dude, hits him, and then knocks him back. Little dudes knocks him down, and I can chain that then into my other like big runic attack, which is he basically just starts slamming that axe on the enemy 3 times.
Yes, I love that one.
Yeah, and so I do that one because, like, a lot of, like, God of War is about, like, distancing, and some enemies will be all in your shit, and then there'll be other enemies who will kind of step out of range, fire some blasts off, and then do, like, a quick charge in. And so if you don't have, like, say, your shield out or you're not prepared for it, you can kind of take some jabs on your way in while close the distance on the enemy, especially if you're not shooting those arrows. So with that shield charge, I can quickly just move right in and then just take them down. So really getting a better feel for the combat now in a way where I can tailor it to my style of play, and then just opening up some new moves and stuff that I won't get into because it might be a little spoilerish for other people. But yeah, it just evolves and opens up as you play through the game.
Very much so. However, I'm reaching a point now that I'm getting close to the end where I had the bright idea to start backtracking through areas, try to fill out my list, 100% the areas. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to find some things that I don't really enjoy about the game. Just mainly that it's good. It's at its best when you're going forward, when you're progressing through things, when there's something to do, when there's an endpoint. When you start backtracking, that's where it kind of gets a little dull and boring because the areas are mostly cleared out. There'll be some encounters. There'll be some really good encounters, but they're spread out further from each other. And then, like, you have that list that tells you what things you need to find, but you have no real way of knowing where they are, especially if you've solved all of the obvious puzzles and hazards that have been laying around the level, because then you're just getting to the point where you have to, you know, walk against a wall and like basically try to find some obscure path or find a clue that suggests that, oh, over here might be a thing, and then there's enemies, and then I get the chest, and then it's just resources.
Yeah, like you're kind of just realizing at this point that backtracking might not be something that you need to do.
Well, I mean, I want to clear these areas out. However, it's just like, for instance, finding Odin's ravens. There's one portion of the map where I only need to find four more. Could not find a single one of them. Couldn't find a single path I hadn't already traversed forward and backward multiple times. I just have no idea where these fucking birds are. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about 100%ing any of these areas. I'm just going to keep progressing, keep finding what I can, and just put it down.
Yeah, I feel like that's how it's going to end up playing out for me. Like, I'll go back initially while I still have this, like, oh, like, I love just playing this game, like, feel going on. But as more games come out and as I get, like, an itch to start playing other stuff, I mean, I was also telling you, I got home at around, like, 2 a.m. just drunk as shit from margaritas.
Yeah, we're getting close to 40, but we can still go out and do what we got to do.
Yeah, and I was just like, I've been reading all this Warmind stuff coming down the pipe for Destiny 2. You know what? I got a little itch going. Might just have to jump right into Strike real quick.
Just let me get a taste, baby.
And it felt good, man, just jumping in, like, getting that. Because I've had an urge to, like, maybe try out, like, a Titan or a Warlock. Oh, not Warlock, but the Hunter. Mm-hmm. But then just got back with my Warlock. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I love this. I love this rift and the orb floating above my shoulder, firing off shots.
That minion.
Yeah.
With my minions.
Yeah, it just felt great again. And it just got me excited now for this new DLC coming down the way. So, I mean, there's just so much going on. And I'm gonna have to spread that time. Or share that time with God of War. So, yeah, there will be a little things like I'll just have to skip over and then come back to if I get that urge to really get knee deep in this game again.
Hell yeah.
But you know what? Let's get right into the topics of the week.
Topics of the week.
This one, you know, we don't have to really discuss a lot about it, but since we were just discussing God of War, there was a news flash this week. You know, just a little bulletin item of PlayStation patting itself on the back. God of War became the fastest selling PS4 exclusive.
Ooh.
With 3.1 million units moved in 3 days.
Damn.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that momentum is going to hold up.
Yeah. Did everybody get it now? Or is it like now that like the word is spreading, will people suddenly start jumping on this like more and more?
Because you know what people are saying online when news like this comes out. Oh, it still won't outsell Breath of the Wild. It won't hit 10. It won't get there.
PlayStation it's like, fanboys.
It's 3 days. 3 days. And people are, well, it won't get here. It won't do this. It's like, damn, can the game just breathe?
And also, like, isn't it just, people own both consoles. Why does it have to be this one's better than the other? Like,
and then if it does hit those benchmarks, then it's like, oh, well, 10 million idiots. It's part of the problem.
Yeah. And a quick comparison, Uncharted 4 moved 2.7 million units. This was over 7 days. And then Horizon Zero Dawn moved 2.6 million. And I think that was in like 2 weeks.
Sony exclusives killing the game.
Yeah, so
excited for Ghost of Tsushima.
That's Tsushima.
Tsushima. Somebody needs to make an indie game called Tsushima.
That's Sushi Mac. Yeah, I mean, what's great too is just,
did you say Sushi Mac?
Yeah, that's Sushi Mac.
Sushi Mac and Cheese.
D- Damn, that sounds pretty good.
That would be crazy.
Have some rice in your mac and cheese with some spicy tuna mixed in.
With some poke.
But yeah, like what's great is if you look at that, I think that's each year we've gotten a great Sony exclusive on top of that. So it's Uncharted, we got Horizon, and now we got God of War. And it seems like progressively each of those games have gotten better as far as exclusives.
Because, like, noticeably.
Yeah, because like Uncharted 4 looked great, awesome, but like it had its, like, it's, you know, it had its time where I was like, I'm over this and I probably will not ever touch this again. Like, happy to see the end of Drake's story, but I'm good here.
Mm-hmm.
Horizon, obviously, Guerrilla doing some new shit and then coming out killing it. You played that. That was your game of the year last year.
80 hours in platinum.
And then God of War, you're already saying it's an early candidate for game of the year right now.
Oh, absolutely. Right up there with Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
Two very different games, but two extremely well done, fully featured, nuanced, polished, quality experiences.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm good with that. Let's just move on to the next topic.
Of the week. Topic of the week.
We got some Red Dead Redemption news.
Oh, yeah.
So basically, they released a trailer. What did you think about the trailer?
It looks great, and it absolutely conveys what Rockstar wants us to understand about the game. I mean, it's, you got a crew now.
Yeah, you got the homies.
It's a gang.
You got the posse.
You got the Deadlock gang.
You got Die Holiday. You got Johnny Ringo.
I wonder who the first person in Red Dead Online is going to be to start a clan called the Deadlock gang.
The Deadlock gang? The Deadeye gang?
That Deadeye gang. They only shoot with Deadeye.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the game itself looks phenomenal. Of course, that's what you come to expect. It looks cinematic as hell. It's a cinematic trailer. When Rockstar gets ready to show you the gameplay trailer, you will know that it's a gameplay trailer. But even then, there's still gameplay elements within the cinematic trailer. However, we don't need to really cut that away. You know, I saw some familiar faces, like in the new faces. The world looks even more believable as a depressing, just downtrodden, dirty Western environment. They got a scene with a doctor operating on a guy with no anesthetic.
Yeah, there's not a lot of fun in this trailer for sure. Like, yeah. Like, not compared, when you're comparing it to, I think it was Grand Theft Auto, where you got like Stevie Wonder's like, very superstitious. No. Playing in the background. No. Like, that's a little more fun loving. This game seems very, very serious.
It's extremely serious. But, you know, what we can take away, it looks phenomenal. It's got all the tiny details. The lighting system's beautiful. The upgraded world for current gen looks even more alive and just random as possible. Got animals doing all kind of shit.
Yeah, so on top of that, we I guess there was a demo that some was it IGN?
IGN got in there.
Yeah.
Why do our invites, do we have the P.O. box set up?
Yeah, what's going on?
We keep missing our invites. I know,
maybe you got the wrong address. It's 902, not 901.
Yes.
But yeah, so they got the demo. They talked about the details. And the details, this game is all about the details, apparently. With all the little interactions that you have in the game with NPCs, with your horse. Those are some of the things I also want to discuss with that, the news that came out this week regarding Red Dead.
Yeah, it seems like the game, with its upgraded and additional mechanics, is going to be much more survival oriented. There's going to be more micromanagement going on, and just little things that you took for granted from the first Red Dead seem like they're going to be important mechanics that you're going to need to focus on in this Red Dead.
Yeah, like your items are going to be very, it's not just, oh, you get shit and then I just put that shit away and don't think about it until I need to use it later.
Yeah, until I need a little scratch.
Yeah, like, and so, like, yeah, the devil in the details. Like, some of the stuff they were talking about, it's like when you're out hunting, the weapon that you use will determine like the quality of like the game that you get, as far as if you shoot it as opposed to like a bow and arrow
for that clean kill.
And then they're saying when you're riding around with your kill, if you don't get it back right away, it starts to rot. Mm-hmm. And that'll also affect like the quality of it,
quality of that meat, and it also affects the price that you get in town if you try to sell it.
Yeah, where you can then buy yourself a new hat.
Now is that gonna be like, are hat physics the new thing? Is the hat gonna degrade and take damage and get dirty, and it's like, oh, I can't respect you, look at your hat. You're pointing that gun at me, look at your hat. You better get a new hat, you want to rob me.
Trying to peel my cap, trying to split my wig. They talked about, and you had mentioned your camp, your homie, your posses. When you're in the camp, they tell you like, oh, we need meat, we need you to go and take care of these things. They were saying how your camp will change overnight, like whoever like the late night patrol is or the late night guard will be different from your daytime guard, things like that. Mm-hmm. Will change up the NPCs that you can interact with, and your interactions with the NPCs will be very different, especially the way you approach them. If you have your gun out, if you have your gun holstered, the way you, if you're aggressive with them, it'll determine like how they react to you and what they will like then reward you with. I think he had mentioned something along the lines like, there was a dog that was barking at like a house. He was rummaging through the person's stuff, and the dog was barking long enough so that then the fisherman came back and he's like, what are you doing? And they were like, you could have shot him, or you could have like just gotten aggressive with him, and they got aggressive. And then the guy was like, oh, sorry, like you can have whatever you took.
Yeah. It was the basic kind of principle there was like, it's just a fisherman. He doesn't want any problems. He just wants to get back to the wharf.
Yeah. And like they're saying, like when you're coming back into town with a bounty, when people see that, they'll start reacting to you like a little differently, because they got to show you a little bit of respect, put a little respect on your name.
Basically.
Respect on that, Arthur.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. I'm still sticking to my guns on my one-man boycott. My one-man, one-week boycott.
That day one boycott?
Where are my euphoria physics? Where is my ability to kneecap boycott?
Now, what did you think about the whole horse thing, the bonding with your horse?
Now, that is a very interesting aspect of the game that I welcome with the widest open arms. Basically, in the original Red Dead, you had your horse, and, you know, you run that horse off a cliff, you shoot the horse in the back of the head, and then a few minutes later, you just whistle, and your horse is back. With all your stuff.
Yeah.
And a saddle.
Looking better.
But now, in Red Dead 2, every horse is going to restart this process of basically gaining its trust and building a relationship with it so that it responds to you better over time in the game. The example they provided was that they were riding a horse and it was approaching a body of water, like a river or something that they wanted to cross. And the horse got a little skittish and started walking to the side, like basically afraid to go into the water. They also provided another example where if you have a good relationship with your horse, it won't get scared and run away from you in a firefight. Whereas if you have a brand new horse that you're building a relationship with, it might get spooked and just bolt.
I think they also said like, if you whisper, if it's farther away, the better bond you have, it'll respond to you.
Yeah. So like your whistle has a range now, and that range increases as your horse trusts you. So I like that, and I also like that, hey, if your horse dies, if you lose your horse,
that's your horse.
That's your horse. That bond is no more. You got to get another horse, and you got to start that process all over again. So that's a very attractive feature to me, and because I feel like it's kind of like the cars in GTA 5, where it's like, yeah, you could steal whatever you want, but then there's your car, which is your deal. That's your character car. That's your trademark. That's the image you portray to the GTA world.
Yeah, it's a somewhat Zen philosophy of how they're designing this game in a way. Like, they're making you very mindful of everything, and they're making things a lot more personal, as opposed to just you move through this world, NPCs, you shoot them, it means nothing. You kill your horse, it mm-hmm. means nothing. Mm-hmm. You get items, you just store them away.
Just this throwaway culture where, oh, there's just, I'll just get another one.
I'll just collect everything and always have everything on me. And if I need it, oh yeah, I forgot I even had that. Okay, I guess I'll start using that now. It's now you have to really consider what you have. And I believe they said, like, your horse even carries your bigger weapons in the game. So, like, I think that has to do, like, there will be some storage with the horse, it seems like.
Now, that's an awesome feature, because it kind of plays on an idea that I've wanted to see in games. Like, think about The Last of Us, where Joel has that backpack that he's crafting everything from. Like, I wanted to be able to, like, maybe the backpack slows you down, so you have to put it down somewhere and you can move more freely, but you carry less things that you then have to bring back to your backpack, put it back on. Or an enemy can find your bag and start taking things out, use them against you in combat, or your bag can just be straight up stolen, then you got to go on a mission to get it back.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that kind of stuff being done with the horse. But with the inventory, at least it's making it so that that stuff is there. It has presence, it has weight, it's something that can not be within arm's reach when you need it. It can't just pop up on a radial menu in the middle of a firefight and suddenly you got this thing. It's like, oh man, my horse is over there, I'm here, I got four bullets, I gotta make this work.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. It's like, it's why I want to see a system in a GTA where, like, there's a duffel bag, or your, or cars have trunks where that's where your rifles go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get things started with a pistol. If it's getting really out of hand, you got to retreat to the car, pop the trunk. And also, like, and then have your money in the bag. You put the bag in the trunk. You got to drive. You got to get it to the safe. But yeah, with Red Dead, this, what they're doing with the horse is excellent, in my opinion. I know people are probably going to be on the fence or complain a little, like, oh, why can't I just get... Why can't I just do what I want? Why can't I just get another horse? Why do I have to bond with it? Does it want to go bowling?
Why isn't it always my friend? Why can't it live forever? Why isn't it immortal? It's my horse.
Yeah, every time I'm at a critical point in the game, I end up shooting my horse.
I should just have the best horse in the game.
Why can't I just buy the best horse? Why can't I buy a bond?
Troll out a week.
I just want to have one horse. I just want to have all my guns. I can't. What happened to the Henry repeater? They nerfed it. Oh, you know that's coming.
R.I.P. repeater.
Why can't I just get 18 headshots in Deadeye anymore? Why is the cougar so overpowered?
Why can't I just have everything at the outset?
So with the new Red Dead trailer comes the same old traditional Rockstar Red Dead hate that we all know so well, but may have forgotten about over the past 8 years. So here's just a little sample of how people feel with the release of this new clip. Oh, look, another protagonist with a bow. How original. Tomb Raider, Far Cry 5, Horizon Zero Dawn. And why would a cowboy use a bow anyway? Well, as we explained earlier, maybe for cleaner kills, which results in more valuable stuff that you can sell in town and get yourself a better hat.
Yeah, you're not trying to load up a deer with buckshots and then with pellets and then be like, hey, here's this fine fur coat that has holes all up in it.
Yeah, here's this fine cut of meat with lead in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a very practical thing, and the beauty of there being an optional mechanic is that you don't have to use it and sully your experience. You go ahead and sell your hole ridden buckshot filled meat while everybody else is like, oh, I've got like $10,000. You're like, why can't I get, well, the economy is skewed toward microtransactions.
Yeah.
It's so bullshit. I can't play the way I want.
The bow is OP.
And it's like, it's not even your primary weapon as it was in the other games, except Far Cry 5, because firearms are your main weapon there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, get out of here with that shit. Grand Theft Horse with shitty endings.
Grand Theft Horse with shitty endings?
So with shitty endings.
They know all
he's,
the endings.
He's played the game. He knows that there's multiple endings, which hasn't been confirmed. He knows they're all bad, which nobody knows.
I already know how this plays out.
I figured it out.
Yeah.
And Grand Theft Horse. Like, another guy said Grand Theft Auto with horses. Meh.
I'm a pass.
Red Dead Redemption was introduced and ultimately released. It could not get away from Grand Theft Horse.
Yeah.
And sure enough, Grand Theft Horse resonated with millions of people across the globe, including myself and the AMC. And now we got a sequel that's going to be Grand Theft Horse 2, and it's going to be awesome. So I don't know what you're crying about. Next guy says, the final product will not look like that. They never do. Well, except that time when Red Dead Redemption looked exactly like the images and video that was circulated on the net before it released. So, yeah, let's give the benefit of the doubt to the thing that's doing what it does.
Yeah, we discussed this in the pre-show that we're kind of past the days of getting these over-res reveal trailers of games, and then by the time they come out, they're like less than or just cut down in some way. If anything, you're starting to see that games are looking better by the time you release that release date.
You brought up God of War in that case.
Exactly. God of War, one of those games. I mean, just more and more, like, you're just seeing games look, they understand the hardware at this point. And so to think that they're showing us anything that is beyond like the capability of the PS4, even the PS4 Pro, I think you're just not really giving credit or even following the trend.
And another thing that I've been noticing in this regard is that more developers are showing alpha footage of their games for longer periods of time. So that's like the first build where you could play the game from beginning to end. That's not even, you know, with all their lighting and all their final textures and things. Spider-Man's been showing alpha footage, people complaining about, oh, isn't that one part where the web didn't connect to anything? Does that mean the webs don't connect to anything? In the one part. Every other part, webs are connecting to everything.
Yeah. Well, it's like the whole idea. Like, people are just like, I won't play this game because I don't like the costume. And then it's like, you'll have multiple costumes. And they're like, oh, shit. All right. Well, I already decided I'm not getting this game.
And you don't even start with the costume that you don't like. And you can swap the skills, but that's neither here nor there. Next guy says, I think Sony fanboys hate how good this game is going to be because it's not an exclusive, and they try to compare it to God of War from a trailer with no gameplay or playing it.
God of War, game of the year, or death.
as two card-carrying Sony fanboys, we don't hate how this game is multi-platform. It's perfectly fine because it's just another good game to add to the roster. God of War is excellent. It looks phenomenal. It'll be in the game of the year race, and we'll just celebrate whoever emerges victorious. But, you know, I'm not going to sit here and get all butthurt because, oh, it's not only on my platform.
Yeah, and also, like, I don't want to go into this year thinking the best game I've played was halfway through the year. Like, you want to believe that there are better games coming, or that'd be a sad state of in the industry.
Yeah. And also, who's comparing those two games? Who would have the audacity? Wait. The temerity to do so.
True.
Next guy says, doesn't look like anything to me. Well, all right. That doesn't sound like anything to me.
I don't understand things.
Next troll, can't lie. This all looks like a big pile of meh. Every trailer they've released so far.
This Tone trailer just does not pull me in at all. I don't get why people like this game.
Haven't seen a good spaghetti western in a long time. This looks to be a fine movie.
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing now. It's going to be all cutscenes. It's
a movie game.
It's going to be a movie game.
It's a walking simulator. God of War, walking simulator. Oh, wait. There's combat at every turn.
David Cage presents Red Dead Redemption.
trash trailer. What am I supposed to get excited about? Well, how about the... How about the imminent arrival of the sequel to one of the greatest games ever made? How about getting excited about that? How about seeing the entire Deadlock gang standing outside of a train threatening the passengers like, we don't want to do it. Let's wake them up. What about robbing banks? And I'm not talking about Banksy. What about just playing Rockstar's first current gen only game?
I mean, and also on top of that, I think people worry about going into Red Dead is with the success of GTA 5. It's like, oh, this game is going to be all online. We've gotten only trailers of single player campaign stuff. So the idea that they're only focusing on online, this should make people who that hashtag RIP single player group, this should make them happy that they have a focused single player game coming from Rockstar.
Has Rockstar even themselves mentioned Red Dead Online other than confirming that such a thing would exist?
Yeah, they haven't even touched it.
have they got their Red Dead cards and the pricing table ready?
I mean, we don't even know right now, do you expect an undead for this new current generation?
I would honestly be terribly surprised if they did not release an Undead Nightmare. If they didn't put out Undead Nightmare 2, I don't think that would make much sense because I haven't really seen anything else that rated as highly, but that was the first DLC or standalone DLC I've seen get a 10.
Yeah, you don't really see that with the GTA DLCs, the way Undead was a thing where people could have just gotten that only and been mm-hmm. happy with their Red Dead experience. And so you would kind of hope that that is something that would come down the line, but not seeing really was not any single player DLC regarding GTA 5.
Not a damn thing.
Yeah,
that hurt my soul.
So that is I guess that would be a concern, but I don't know if Rockstar is kind of aware of the love and the money that could easily be made with the Undead DLC. Hopefully they will follow that up with this game.
Extremely underwhelming in my opinion. Sad face.
Extremely.
Maybe Rockstar is using the train robbery as a metaphor for how they're going to squeeze every penny out of consumers with constant microtransactions.
Funny, underwhelming, this thing that you didn't expect, that they didn't tease or really expect some insane deal, this insane trailer coming next week.
Didn't hype nothing.
Yeah. Underwhelming. Extremely underwhelming.
You haven't even seen anything to be underwhelmed with. But keeping in the theme, another underwhelming trailer, in my opinion.
Yeah, another.
Unimpressed. Another terrible trailer that did nothing but hurt my interest in the game, and I already had basically no interest.
It somehow made me hate this game.
this game I didn't care about, now I don't care about at all.
But I am online telling you that I don't care about. And the first one to comment on the trailer.
I had no interest in it. I went and watched the third trailer for it.
I stopped everything that I was doing in that moment to watch the trailer.
I set aside time in my day.
I used data.
I was doing things that interest me and was like, let me go look at something that doesn't interest me.
I got an alert on my phone.
Google alerts. Oh, man, it's the same old song and dance, man. I'm so burnt out on this cycle of, oh, new game coming? It's going to suck. Oh, you're excited about it? You're a cuck.
Where are all the snowflakes at?
Where are my flakes at? it's just so tired, especially since we're so deep in the generation. You're going to be very hard-pressed to find a legitimately bad game. Yeah. Like a straight up, I can't play it. Oh, they fucked up. Oh, this doesn't work. Oh, this doesn't have enough content. Like games now are just so big, fully featured, beautiful, polished, and so numerous that honestly, the games that are coming out are beginning to outpace this hate. And now people are just they're losing their creativity with it. It's just, oh, new game, underwhelming. New game, yeah, it sucks. New game, no interest. Like, get out of here, man. Ain't nobody trying to hear none of that mess. Don't nobody care what y'all think. We're out here trying to play the future classics. We out here trying to enjoy ourselves. Let us be. Go focus on what makes you happy. Unless that's hating.
I want to name my crew the Future Classics.
Troll of the week, 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 troll of the week. It's Red Dead Horse, GTA without a wagon. You gotta circle the whips.
Troll of the week.
Where are the black guys?
Circle the wagons. Yeah. Circle the wagons.
It's not historically accurate. Cowboys ate corn and beans.
Why would he have a bow?
Why would he have an optional weapon that's just going to enrich my experience?
No cowboy has ever wielded a bow.
Ever. For anything. Not even once.
Oh, man. We'll close out with this story. Something that I know excites you, having to do with the homies in Poland.
I haven't been sitting this whole show. I've been sitting this whole show.
I was going to ask if you wanted a chair, but you seemed like you were standing proud.
I was waiting. Mad hype.
Yeah, you got the mic in hand. like a rapper.
With the mic you hand to me.
But yeah, your homies in Poland, CD Projekt Red, they had some news this week.
Oh yeah, we found out that your boys registered to present at E3, showing off an open world action RPG.
An unspecified RPG.
It ain't gonna be. G. It ain't Witcher 4. It ain't gonna be Witcher 4. I think that the world is finally going to get their first real glimpse at Cyberpunk 2077. I couldn't be more hyped. I couldn't be more happy. They don't even need to announce a release date. They could just drop that on the shelf whenever it comes out. I'll figure it out. I'll go get it.
We got that open world Black Mirror.
Playing as female killer sex bots.
Yeah. Playing as a killer major.
Yes. So yeah, extremely excited about this. Been waiting a long time for any kind of news or updates, and it looks like it's finally going to be upon us. I mean, there's not much more to the story than that unless we start getting off into the speculative realm. But yeah, I'm extremely excited. The Witcher was a highly polished, excellently performed, very nuanced and just quality experience. It was one of the first, like, truly exceptional games of this generation. I wasn't too hot on the combat, and that really took a lot of it out of me. But, you know, I'm going to give it its praise where it's due. It raised the bar for open world games in every respect. So now, as somebody who recognizes these qualities and traits, I'm expecting at least a similar offering with Cyberpunk, however, taking place in a sci-fi setting, futuristic. It's going to have, hopefully it's going to have, like, crafting materials and stuff that my head can wrap around. So instead of Necker eyes and monster blood, I'm trying to get, like, nanofiber and solenoids.
Nanites.
Yeah, like, things like that. It's supposed to be the biggest game they've ever made. They're trying to do new things with their artificial intelligence. I'm very interested in, you know, what they're going to do with the combat system, what they're going to do with the upgrades and modifications, because sci-fi, I'm a junkie. I just pre-ordered Everspace. You know, I wish Dead Space would come back. I'm all about it. Galaxy, FTL. I'm very excited for Into the Breach when that decides to come out on console, or at least on Mac.
Yeah.
So, like, this is going to be my fix. If it's every bit as good as what The Witcher brought to the table, but in a sci-fi setting, like, that's definitely going to be one of my dream games come to life.
Yeah. And you know it won't have microtransactions because they told us.
Yeah, I just hope they don't cut content from the final product and give it back to me for free so they could get a little pat on the back.
And the good thing with them is, at least we can expect some cool DLC to come with this game, as they treated the Witcher with that blood and wine, all that shit that people loved.
Yeah, that antifreeze and oil.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm at the point where I'm good on the sword and shields. I want some sci-fi open world. And people, like, when they talk about BioWare, they're like, when are we getting the next Dragon Age? When are we getting this? Like, I've played so many sword and shield games. Like, come on, let's get into this sci-fi-ness. Let's try out a little different open world, and not like of the, what were we discussing, the Deus Ex kind.
Yeah,
like we want third person, talking to the homies,
rummaging through my inventory.
Yeah, and just really getting the feel of like what all that could be, and even like what they could really do, like with the traversal and all that stuff.
Doing sci-fi side quests. Mm-hmm. And the combat. I mean, the main character that they depicted, the female bot, she or cyber person, who knows, but she had those retractable blades in her arm. It just looked wild, like some praying mantis kind of stuff. Like, how's that going to look in combat? Are those going to be my only offensive options? You know, are there going to be sci-fi ways to exploit and manipulate the enemy? Like, instead of a charm, maybe an override, like in a Horizon, or maybe, you know, instead of a poison, like throw the corrosive acid on them, eat through that armor, open up a hole.
And that was one of those things with The Witcher, is playing that game, I just was, it didn't pull me in. And when you look at that map and you see all like the objectives and things to do, it's just like, it gets a little overwhelming, but in a way where it's like, am I liking this game enough to really explore all those things? Where if you give me a great like world in Cyberpunk, you know that CD Projekt Red is going to give you some great writing, some awesome like side quest dialogue.
Those performances.
Yeah.
And motion capture.
And so to see that now in a sci-fi world, a little one that's like a little more engaging for me, I'm just excited to see what they can do. And, you know, like, I can't wait. Hopefully, if it follows the trend of last year's E3, we'll maybe see a trailer before even E3 happens, just because mm-hmm. it seemed like last year they were releasing them like a week out.
And trying to get people excited for E3 by showing them E3 before E3.
And I wonder, like, which conference will get the scoop on this one, unless both of them show it. Or, like, I know they said basically it would be PC, Xbox, and PlayStation. So
the Holy Trinity.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity. So depending who gets to show it off, that would be cool. But really, I just want to see some gameplay, because that's what I'm excited for.
I mean, however long we have to wait for this game, it's not going to be so bad considering all the outstanding pieces of product that are coming out just in the near term, like before the end of the year. Think about this. In the 3-month span between August and October, we're going to get Divinity 2 on console. We're going to get Spider-Man. And we're going to get Red Dead Redemption 2. That makes no mention of any of the other games coming around in the peripheral. None of the indie games that may just pop up and jump into our lives out of nowhere. That's not mentioning anything that might be slated for the holiday season. That's not talking about Call of Duty or anything. So just those three nukes, just boom, boom, boom. And then like all like, well, except for Divinity, I believe that came out last year, but Spider-Man and Red Dead, both like potential game of the year contestants, right up there, Monster Hunter, God of War. So like, we're already seeing a heated race take form, and all we got to do is sit back and enjoy it.
Yeah, enjoy the spoils of war.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Spoils of dead. Boy.
Boy,
I tell you, boy, I tell you.
Well, this is Control Issues. I am the AMC.
And this is A-Dub. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing, suckers.